got it from an authority. So we're going to continue with the book of James, and as it turns out, Mark is here.
Oh,
and he can preach. So that's really cool. And I bet you're really excited about retail right now. Yeah, Target, fun times. How was yesterday downtown? I'm kind of curious. Not as bad as the rest.
Nobody goes downtown.
Because the mall was a little crazy, you know, just saying. All right, well, we're going to continue with the book of James. We have the end of James chapter 3, and then that means the next week will be James chapter 4. And I've got some scolding for you next week, so you're going to want to show up for that, because everybody loves a good scolding. Yeah.
You're right.
So nobody's going to be here next week. That'll be fun. So let's take a look at the passage of Scripture. We'll pray. We'll bring the drama team up. We'll do the Scripture first here. James 3, verses 13 through 18. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. I said the scolding was next week, right? Well, for whenever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, it is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Let's pray, and then we'll bring the drama team up. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, help us to be people of your word. Help us to know who you are and what your plans are, what your purposes are in our lives and in the world. Lord, help us to find rest in your truth and peace in your truth and to live by it. And help us to find peace in that. Lord, we pray for a peaceful 2016, Lord, in the world and especially in our hearts. Lord, we just give you this morning. Help us to hear from you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I did not get up at 5 a.m. yesterday. I got up at 4:30. And I don't have a car, so I walked. I'm just rearranging my infrastructure up here. Yeah, both ways uphill.
In the snow?
While being attacked by griffins. I don't know. By chinchillas. The little known attack chinchilla. No, as Dan implied, I work in retail, and yesterday was the day after Christmas, which is traditionally an awful, awful day for retail, but I am lucky enough to work at a downtown store, and honestly, nobody goes downtown, because that's where they work, and no one wants to be reminded of work on the day after Christmas, especially not those of us who work in retail, but oh well, that's life. So I'm going to talk about the last half of James chapter 3, which really covers a couple of really themes. We get to talk about doing good. We get to talk about integrity and being honest. And then we talk about wisdom, which are kind of the things that are being covered here. Now, wisdom is an interesting one because in the culture in which this was happening, sort of an ancient Jewish culture that was heavily Greek influenced, being thought wise was a really big deal. Like sages, people like, in Greek culture particularly, people like Aristotle and Plato and Socrates, or Socrates, if you don't watch Bill and Ted's, were kind of superstars. Your philosophers were a big deal. So being thought wise was a big deal. Now, that may be hard for us to identify with. I'm going to mention real quick as a caveat, I've worked a lot in the last week and I'm tired, so I have a low filter, just so you know. So, in today's culture, we seem to have identified our superstars with idiocy instead of wisdom. So it does, it's a little bit different for our culture for us to start looking at, you know, wisdom as something that's desirable. But wisdom is actually desirable, it turns out. If you don't want wisdom, I direct you to the book of Proverbs. Please read it. It talks a lot about how it's a good thing. And if you don't want wisdom, by definition, you're an idiot. So think about that for a second. Now, you may not be wise. You can desire wisdom and still be an idiot. But the person, the idiot who desires to be wise is a little bit less of an idiot than the idiot who doesn't want wisdom. Yeah, we can go down the totem pole from idiot. Is that what we're doing? I don't know. Anyway, so wisdom, we want it. Heavenly wisdom is something that we actually should be after. So just thought I'd get that out of the way and warn you that I was going to call y'all idiots. I wasn't talking about you. No way. So James is talking about in a culture and an area where people wanted to be thought wise, that it became a problem that there would be people who went around sort of faking wisdom. They thought, oh, I'm so wise and understanding. People come to me for advice. I can tell you all about being good. And the book of James, if you haven't noticed so far in the first three chapters, doesn't pull a lot of punches when it comes to what you claim to be matching up with the way you act. So he says here in the very opening verse, if you are wise and understand God's ways, like some of you are claiming, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. So he kind of gets to, he hits with three fists here. I mean, it's like he's saying, if you're really that wise, which I'm not actually buying into, but if you are, then prove it by actually living it. Oh, and by the way, those good works, which you should be doing, they come with humility. So you don't even, you probably shouldn't be going around saying you're wise. Because if you're actually wise, there's humility that comes along with it. You know that the Doug's character, I know that guy. But actually, you know what? What's interesting, in that particular sketch, I know all those people. It's incredible. Working retail long enough. I know the guest, I know the guy, the lady at the counter, the guy at the counter, and the manager. I know all of them. You know, if you go around boasting that you're so great and you know everything, then there's not going to be a lot of time for you to actually do anything. And that is a huge problem, particularly in an era of the internet and social media, in which it is easy to spend all of our time talking. Now, texting or typing, whatever, it's all kind of the same. I'm losing my mic. The temptation to just get out there and express your opinion and not actually do anything is really strong. Whether that is in the realm of political debate, or in the realm of what your favorite movie is, or your favorite music artist, or your favorite sports team. It can be really easy to get absorbed in things that you can simply express opinions about. I am as susceptible to this as anyone else. It's very easy for me to just pull my phone out and see somebody's comment or somebody's article on, well, what have you. Often for me it's nerdy games, because that's sort of the thing I do. And just want to express my opinion about it. And I was talking, this is a few months back, I was in San Diego to play cards, because I'm a nerd. I was there, and I was talking to a guy who, I was actually playing against him in the main event of the tournament, and he was saying, yeah, I used to play this game a ton, but then I did two things. I opened a card shop, which absorbed a ton of my time, and I started writing articles about the game, and now I don't have any time to play it. So he was super excited that he got to play in this one event, because he's like, I never have time to play anymore. Because I spend all my time talking about how to play the game. And it can be very easy as people of faith, as Christians, to spend a lot of time talking to each other and other people about how we should behave, or what we should be doing, or what we might be doing, or what we'd like to be doing, and realize after a week or a month or a year has gone by that we've not actually done any of it. And it's insidious, because this is not intentional. And people can be highly active people of faith for a long, long time, doing lots of good work, and then just drop off the cliff into this trap of just talking about it. And I'm not saying that it's bad for people with wisdom to share it, but it can be real easy to lose track of actually doing anything for the kingdom of God and just talk about what you used to do for the kingdom of God. I've gotten off track. Okay. So wisdom. Prove it by doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there's selfish ambition in your heart, I think James is now identifying how these people really are. After saying, if you are wise and understands God's ways, blah, blah, blah. But really, since you're actually bitterly jealous and there's selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Integrity, truth, being who you actually are, accepting the reality. I don't think a particularly wise person. I don't think I'm particularly foolish, natively. Neither am I one of these great sages who can write reams of good advice. But when I think about my condition when it comes to heavenly wisdom, it's not a particularly pleasant experience to look at myself and try and impartially say, where do I stand in the realm of heavenly wisdom? Because we can start from birth. And say, I was born into a race that has fallen. Talk about original sin. We're infected with doing it wrong, with foolishness, from day one. So you got strike one. And then you grow up with a bunch of other people in your same condition, and they hurt you. And things happen which wound your heart. And you start reacting against those wounds in ways that are not healthy. It's easy to get angry almost immediately. Like, little kids have great amounts of anger about things sometimes that are, you would think, not very important. So do adults, it's not just kids. And then you get older and good things happen to you, and you think, oh, I'm feeling pretty good, and then life comes and smacks you upside of the head. When I think about my condition and the things I react against, when I think about the last few years of my life, I realize, you know, there's a lot of things that if I don't acknowledge that I am now, every interaction I'm going to have, every decision I'm going to make has been influenced by the fact that I've been divorced, I've had cancer, I've had just a run of, I mean, I guess I could go in order and say I had anxiety problems, I got divorced, and then I had cancer. And I think, you know, over the course of that last 3-4 years, the way I react to everything has changed. And I'm not fishing for sympathy here, but I'm saying, you know, if you come and talk to me about one of those subjects, my opinion's gonna be colored. And there's nothing I can really do about that. I can acknowledge it and say, hey, just so you know, this is my experience. So when I say something, it's going to be colored by this other stuff that's happened to me. But I have to acknowledge that those things are real. So aside just from, as James talks about, jealousy and selfishness, there's and selfish ambition, there's also just stuff that influences your life. And you don't want to cover up any of it. Now, if you are jealous and selfishly ambitious, You definitely shouldn't cover that up with boasting and lying, because you know what? I'm sorry to say, people are actually wise to it, so it's not gonna work out. If you go around, like our character in the store, saying how great you are, the other employees are gonna figure out that this guy is just a bag of hot air. It's not gonna take very long. It doesn't work out, it's bad for you, and you know, we're gonna go again down the totem pole here to the very bottom. You know, it doesn't work, it's bad for you, it's earthly, unspiritual, it's demonic! It's demonic. It's actually just from the pit of hell. Your jealousy and your selfish ambition is not good, and it will not work out, and it's from the pit of hell. James doesn't pull a lot of punches. And where there's jealousy and selfish ambition, you will find disorder and evil of every kind. When you have a person who's had all of these experiences, beginning with their birth into a fallen race, running around thinking that they're wise and telling everyone that they are, it will cause chaos every time. And I think this is a lot of what James is writing against, because if you go back to the time period again, this was the era of the origins of heresy. So you had a lot of people in a culture that thought itself wise and wanted to be known as wise, going around spouting all kinds of ideas to make themselves seem wise, and in the process, diluting the gospel. You didn't get people like Arius spouting heresy because he wanted it, because it was a good idea. He did it because he wanted to look good and feel like he'd come up with some idea that was so novel. And the same thing with all of the other heresies. This is a product, frankly, of thinking too much of yourself. Now, fortunately, back then, we had people like our superhero Saint Nicholas who could knock the blocks off. But we're past Christmas now. We should stop talking about Nicholas for a bit.
Yeah, I heard he was going to establish a new martial arts order.
I'm into it. If you don't know that story, ladies and gentlemen, ask David Collins. He'll be glad to tell you. It's great. Where was I? And in today's world, we run into the same problems. This sort of dishonesty about ourselves. People who are more concerned with looking wise or looking special or having a great idea than they are with doing good works is infectious and destructive. It'll tear you apart. Wisdom. So this wisdom that we want to have, this heavenly wisdom that we want to have, that leads to doing good, that doesn't lead down this path of destruction and chaos that selfish ambition will go to every time. What is it? Now, this is an interesting verse, 17. Dan actually turned me on to this, some of the interesting historical things that have been justified out of this particular verse. And honestly, it's not pretty. Because again, I think it's people who thought themselves wise wanting to come up with a novel idea. So verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure, it is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. That verse was used to justify torture in the Inquisition.
What?
You gotta twist pretty far, go real deep on that to justify torture from that verse. But it was done by basically parsing it out as a first this, then that. So wisdom from above is first of all pure, so let's go ahead and purge anything that's not pure. And then we can be peace-loving. Now, I'm not necessarily against the idea of not having unhealthy elements, either in your community or in your life or whatever, but if I tried to purge everything that was impure from myself before I moved on to anything else God wanted me to do, there wouldn't be much left. you can't just purge everything. Because this is not saying that you become pure. It's saying the wisdom from above is pure. It is not an infected wisdom. It's not infected by your selfish ambition. It's not infected by your sinful desires. It's pure. And as part of that purity, it loves peace. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. It's full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows favoritism. It's always sincere. This is a little bit of a recap of James's previous points about not showing favoritism, about how you speak. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap the harvest of righteousness. So wisdom has an actual harvest that is good. Its harvest is goodness. The fake wisdom, the hot air wisdom, reaps a harvest of chaos and disorder. So you can see, and this was certainly a problem in the times, and for a couple centuries following that, and let's be honest, it never really stopped, but there was a problem of you would have a church, you would have a group of Christians getting together in a community in a city, and you have to remember the Bible as we know it wasn't completely together yet. So there was the Old Testament, and there were probably a couple of Paul's letters floating around, possibly. I don't know the exact order, but there's a good chance some of the epistles had been written. The Gospels, probably not. Maybe one or two of them was in circulation as you go further on in time. But you would have this issue of they didn't have a Bible to appeal to as the ultimate authority the way we do now, if we choose to, which, you know, kind of a reason the biblical authority thing is a big deal. One of the reasons. You would have this problem of somebody would get up and come up with a great idea that they thought was awesome because they were so wise. And you'd have another person who'd come up with a great idea that was not the same as that other person's great idea, and pretty soon they're shouting at each other. And then they get mad, and then they take each other to court over something unrelated because humans are emotional and we do things for weird reasons. And you have all kinds of conflict and dissension, and the body of Christ is just ugly. And the witness of the church is destroyed. That is not peace-loving, and it is not willing to yield. This was one of the problems that the early church faced, and it literally took hundreds of years to get most of this resolved, to where you had the authority of Scripture and the authority of what later became the Catholic Church. But that had problems later too. It turns out humans, we got issues. The wisdom from above is, first of all, pure. It doesn't get tainted. And you can tell it by you can tell by its fruit what kind of wisdom it is. So just like at the start of the passage here, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life. If you think someone is wise, look at the fruit of their life. What's coming out of it? If you think a community is wise, look at the fruit of the community. If you think an organization is wise, look at the fruit of it. Not what it says. Not its statements that sound good. Not how it makes you feel. Not because it's nice. See what comes out of it. The fruit of it good deeds? Does it do good in the world? Are there seeds of peace and a harvest of righteousness? You know, when I stood up here last week and talked about the Prince of Peace, the harvest of righteousness, the seeds of peace and the harvest of righteousness is fascinating to me. Because peace is such a big deal right now. You'll definitely see that in the news if you go out there, or in social media if you're brave and stupid. Peace is a big deal. People want peace. They desperately want peace. But peace, people, it turns out, if you look a little deeper, don't really want the kind of peace that this is talking about. These peacemakers are motivated by a pure wisdom. And that's God's wisdom. You see, God is ultimately an integrated being. He has integrity. God's peace will never be separated from the rest of his character. So, we have a lot of wise people trying to promote peace. Self-important wise people trying to promote peace. But it's often for selfish reasons, and I don't want to go too far off track here, but it's often for reasons that have to do with, I believe, how it makes you feel. Do I feel at peace? This is what I mentioned as the Oprah Winfrey piece. I'm internally at peace with myself. Well, if we're born into a fallen race and our hearts have a problem, we probably shouldn't be at peace with ourselves. We should be at peace with God. I find it highly questionable when I'm at peace with myself. The peace of God will apply to everything and everyone. Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. Will go out and put things into the world that will create a larger peace that isn't even about them. The heavenly wisdom isn't about an individual. Heavenly wisdom isn't about the organization that's doing it. The work of heavenly wisdom is about everything that is in God's creation. It wants peace. It is motivated by peace that will happen when God has corrected everything that has gone wrong. The peace of God is for everyone. It can't be for just me at the expense of you. I sometimes, we just have wrapped up the Christmas season. And I breathe a long exhale. Thank goodness it's over, because I work in retail. But I do love Christmas. And I sometimes feel like we want to make the birth of Jesus, we want to make Jesus too small. You know, Jesus was a baby in a manger, and he did come for a number of reasons, but it makes me shudder when I hear people reduce him to either just a baby, or just a sacrifice, or just about peace on earth. Because while all of those things are true and are very important, we have to remember, and we should shudder in awe at the idea that God would become any of those things. He is also King of Kings. He is also the king who will ultimately bring about peace on earth. And if we really believe that, we should be sowing the seeds of that peace, not the peace that makes us feel great, and not the peace that's negotiated, not the peace that gives us what we want. I totally hobby horsed that passage. So may you be wise with heavenly wisdom, setting aside your selfish ambition and bitter jealousy, and confessing these things when they happen. This is the glory of the gospel. These things will happen. I am a fallen person, and I have all kinds of experiences that have wounded me, and I react in ways that are not healthy and are not good. But the glory of the gospel is I get to say, this is who I am, and God loves me anyway, and it's all forgiven. You get to chase after heavenly wisdom and say, I want that, without having to just fight a war against your own desires. You should sometimes, but that's not what it's about. You get to chase this heavenly wisdom and after the peace of God without having to worry about, oh, I'm going to screw up and God's going to smite me. That's taken care of. So you get to confess this stuff, and you don't have to cover it up. So may you chase that wisdom and not be distracted by any of the false peace that is being preached in the world today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your gift of your Son to us. Thank you for the gospel that tells us that we are not condemned. And I pray that we would chase after you with all the vigor that we normally bring to chasing after our own desires. Thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.